In our continuing study of the Master in the Midst, it's not too difficult to know what our text will be today. Read in verse 36, "And as they thus spake," that is the disciples, "Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Here once again we have another example of the Master in the midst. After the Savior rose from the dead, leaving behind him an empty tomb, he showed himself on that resurrection day. He showed himself to his followers on 5 separate occasions. 5 different appearances of the Lord took place on that resurrection day. The day of his resurrection began with an appearance unto Mary Magdalene in the garden, John 20 and verse 14. That was followed by an appearance unto the women. You recall there was the group of women who had gone to the sepulchre that morning, discovered that the stone had been rolled away, the sepulchre was empty, and they were returning to tell the good news to the disciples. We read about them in Matthew 28 and verse 9. "And then the Lord had an interview with the disciple who had denied him thrice with oaths and curses." Luke 24, verse 34. That same triumphant day the risen Lord had drawn near and walked with 2 of his disciples as they made their way to their home in Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 15. "And now as the day draws to a close, the Lord appears unto the 11 who had locked themselves in the upper room for fear of the Jews," verse 36. Now we can see that from this 5th appearance of that day, that the Lord Jesus not only appeared unto the 11 disciples in the upper room, but there were others in the room at the same time. So there was more than the 11 disciples. For we are told there in the verse 33 that they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there were those who had returned from the sepulchre. There were also those who had gathered with the disciples as well as the disciples. So there was quite a number in the upper room at the close of Resurrection Day. Now, whenever you put these 5 appearances together, we find that the Lord Jesus first appeared unto Mary Magdalene, and she was weeping. Remember, the Master said to her, "Why weepest thou?" So he appeared unto Mary Magdalene while she was weeping. And then he appeared unto the women returning from the sepulchre who were witnessing. They were going to witness to the disciples and tell them that the tomb was empty. And then he appeared unto Peter, and he appeared unto Peter alone. And we could say that he appeared unto Peter, the one who had been wounded. Because you recall when the cock crew for the 3rd time the Lord Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And we are told that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Those words mean that he didn't go out sobbing, but he went out crying like a child. People could hear Peter weeping. Peter had been wounded by his denial. He then appeared unto the Emmaus disciples. Those disciples were weary, because you recall when the Lord Jesus drew near and went with them, they were weary. They said, this is the third day. And he said he would rise from the grave. But where is he? They didn't know where the Lord was. And all the while he was right beside them, walking with them. And now we have his fifth appearance unto the 11 disciples and others in the upper room. And he appeared unto them who were worried. They were worried because they had the doors of the room locked for fear of the Jews. How typical this is of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus will come to us when we are weeping. He'll stand beside us when we're weeping. When we're involved in witnessing, he'll be with us then. Whenever we're wounded, whenever we're weary, the Lord will be with us. In those times when we're worried, for whatever reason, the Lord will be with us then. Just as he was with those in the upper room, when we read, as we read, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. What a wonderful experience this was for the disciples. So I want to consider then again another incident of the Lord, the Master being in the midst. First of all, we want to consider the Master's appearance. The Master's appearance. The Master's appearance in that room that evening was a supernatural appearance. If you turn to John 20, and John recalls the same incident in John 20 and verse 19. We read there, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, mark these words, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. The doors were shut. How then did Christ come and stand in the midst of the disciples? He did so supernaturally. He simply appeared there in their presence, in their midst. The doors were shut, remember. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And supernaturally, the Lord Jesus came and stood in the midst. Now, I once again think of the disciples and the others who were in the upper room. They were there and they were worried. They had the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Christ came to them in a supernatural way. How often, believer, when you and I have been worried, or you and I have been troubled, you and I have been wearied, or something has come upon us that we have no answer for, and we don't know any way out of it. The Lord has come to us in our eyes in a supernatural way. The Lord has come to our aid. And we have said, this is the Lord's doing. We maybe have bills to pay, and we don't have the money to pay those bills. And suddenly, money comes to us from an unexpected source. And we can say, the Lord has come to my aid. In our eyes, in a supernatural way. Turn to Mark chapter 6. I'll show you what I mean again. Mark chapter 6. And in Mark 6. And verse 46. And when he had sent them away, that is the multitude, he, the Lord Jesus, departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Disciples were in the ship. Christ was in the mountain praying. And he saw them. And so, believer, it doesn't matter where or when you and I find ourselves in trouble, the Lord Jesus sees us. So it says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. There you have the disciples, and they're in trouble. They're in the ship in Galilee. They're in the midst of a storm. They're afraid. While the Lord is not in the ship with them at that time, nevertheless, he's in the mountain praying for them, because it says he sees them. And when you and I find ourselves in trouble, remember this, the Lord is in his mountain. He sees us and he's praying for us. And how did he come to the disciples and come to their rescue? Walking on the water. He came to them in a supernatural way. And often the Lord will come to us in a way that we did not expect. That's how he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. And I want you to notice, with regard to the Master's appearance, the person of Christ. We all know that every word in God's word is important. Every single word. And you'll notice here, in this passage of Scripture, verse 15, one word that sets out for us just how important every single word in the Scriptures is. In verse 15, we're told about the Emmaus disciples. In verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It doesn't say Jesus drew near and went with them. It says Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now look at our text, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. The Spirit of God has recorded these two incidents in this way, emphasizing that this was none other than Jesus himself. It was nobody else, but Jesus himself. This was the same Jesus. whom they had seen being led from Gethsemane and eventually led to Golgotha. This is the same Jesus whom they had seen beaten and bruised and bloodied, hanging on the cross. It was the same Jesus. This was the same Jesus whom they heard cry out from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the same Jesus whom they had seen at last bow his head, giving up the ghost, saying, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's the same Christ. It was the same Jesus whom Joseph of Arimathea had taken that body down from the cross, along with Nicodemus, anointed it and wrapped it in the grave clothes and placed it in Joseph of Arimathea's grave. It's the same Jesus. And now, 3 days later, we read Jesus himself. In other words, the same Jesus, the same Christ. Because the Lord had said, as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Just 3 days. And on that resurrection day, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and came at the end of that day and stood in the midst of those disciples, it was Jesus himself, the same Christ. That's where the emphasis is placed here, in the use of that word himself. It's the same person. It's the same Savior. It's the same Christ. This wasn't an angel. This wasn't a cherubim or seraphim. This was Jesus himself. This wasn't an apparition. This wasn't a spirit. This wasn't a ghost. This wasn't a shadow. It was Jesus himself. Same Christ who had ministered to those disciples for 3.5 years, approximately. The same Christ whom they had walked with and talked with and saw work miracles. The same Christ. The Lord Jesus, 40 days after he rose from the dead, was taken up into heaven. The disciples were there with the Lord when he gave them the great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then the Lord Jesus was received up into heaven. So we needn't think it strange that the Lord was able to appear in the room, the doors being shut. Because the disciples later saw him leave them, being taken up from their presence and their company into heaven, supernaturally. And then the angels came, and this is what they said to the disciples. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. In other words, it'll be Jesus himself who will come again, who is coming again. Yes, he'll come with 10,000 of his angels, but Jesus himself is coming. And one day, dear Christian, we shall see Jesus himself. and we shall be with Jesus himself for all eternity. We'll be with Jesus himself. Nobody else but Jesus himself. We've seen the person of Christ. Look then at the posture of Christ. We're told here by John that when the Lord appeared himself to the disciples, we're told what the posture was. It says that he stood in the midst of them. He stood. This is the same Jesus who had been crucified. This is the same Jesus who had given up the ghost. This is the same Jesus who was laid in a tomb, who had died, had remained under death for 3 days, had lain in the tomb for 3 days. And for 3 days and for 3 nights, all was quiet and still around that sepulchre, as death ruled for those 3 days and 3 nights. Now, when the Lord Jesus appeared unto the disciples in the upper room, he's not on the cross. He's not fixed to the tree. He's not lying in the grave. He's standing. He's standing upright. And glory to God, he's alive. And when the Lord Jesus took up that usual posture of standing in the midst of his disciples, he stood there as the mighty victor. He stood there as the mighty conqueror, for he had slain death. Like David, when he slew Goliath with the stone, he went up to him, and David stood over Goliath. And there was the giant of Gath, lying prostrate on the ground, and there David stood as the victor, as the conqueror. There you have the picture of Christ, David's greater son, and he's standing in the upper room, and he's standing there as the great victor and the great conqueror, and it is death that has been slain. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And as the victorious Savior, he adopts that same posture in heaven. Because we read in Revelation chapter 5, and there in verse 6, 5 and verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. The lamb that was slain is now standing. The victorious, living, conquering Savior. He's standing there in the midst of heaven. He's standing there in the midst of the throne. We might well say with Thomas Kelly, look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victory. There he stands as a mighty conqueror in the midst of his disciples. We have looked at the person of Christ, the posture of Christ. We look now at the place of Christ. And as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them. That's his place. He's central. He's the central figure in the upper room. He's standing in the midst. That's his, first of all, his rightful place. When we put Christ in the midst of our lives, we're putting Christ in his rightful place. We're making him the central figure of all that we do. We're giving him his rightful place. The disciples learned that from their earliest days that Christ must be first, that Christ must be central to all that they do. You recall when the Lord walked that day, recorded in Matthew 4, along the shores of Galilee, and he saw the men fishing or mending their nets. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He said, "Follow me." And so the disciples were to make the Lord Jesus central to their ministry. Follow me. Follow in my footprints. Follow my example. Follow my words. Follow my teaching. Christ was to have that central position in the lives of the disciples. He was to be in the midst of all that they did. Christ is to have that central position in your life and in mine. For as he said to the disciples, so he has said to us, follow me. We're to be followers of Christ, for that's what disciples are. You come under the discipline of Christ. Follow him. Not everyone, of course, wants to do that. Not everyone wants to make Christ the central figure in their lives. We learn that from the church at Corinth. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" That is, like men of the world. "For while one saith, I am of Paul." See? There were those in the church at Corinth who were following Paul. "And while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." In other words, Paul is saying, I nothing. Apollos is nothing. Cephas is nothing. God is all. Follow him. Because there were those in the church at Corinth, and some were following Paul, and some were following Apollos, and some were following Cephas, and some were following Christ. But they all should have been following Christ. That's the position that the Lord is to hold in all of our lives. Listen, it's his rightful place. It is his rightful place to be central in all of our lives. That's why Paul was a man who had Christ in his rightful place. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." Christ was his life. That's where Christ was in the life of John the Baptist. For John said, "He must increase, I must decrease." Is Christ in his rightful place in your life and mine? It's central to everything you do. Every decision you make, is he consulted? Do you follow his teaching, his leading, his commandments? Are we true followers of the Lord? Whenever the Lord stood in the midst, he was in his rightful place. When he stood there in the midst of his people, he was in his recognized place. When John was given a revelation of Jesus Christ, he saw the Lord, as we've already seen in Revelation 5 and verse 6, standing in the midst of heaven, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the 24 elders. Jesus Christ is in the midst of heaven. No one else could occupy that position. No one else was given that position. No one else is deserving of such a place in heaven. No one. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, not Samuel, not David. But Christ. That's his rightful place. That's his recognized place. No one else deserves such an exalted place. No one, after such servitude and submission and suffering, sacrifice, only Christ deserves a place in heaven, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of glory. We would not expect anyone else to occupy that position. We wouldn't think of anyone else being in that position in heaven. We'd be in full agreement that the Lord is in his rightful, recognized place in heaven when he's in the midst. So then why is he not in his recognized and rightful position in our lives? Why is the Lord on occasion pushed to one side? Why is the Lord not in his rightful place, in his recognized place? Why is the Lord not in the midst? You would agree, I'm sure, it's only but right, since the Lord suffered and bled and died for us, it's only but right that he's given his rightful place and given his recognized place in our lives. That leads us to consider the peace of Christ. Notice there what the Lord said once he appeared before the disciples. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Remember what we considered last week? The Lord Jesus was in the midst, was on the cross, in the midst of Calvary. The malefactors were crucified, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Remember what we said? That when the Lord Jesus was on the center tree, if he had to die for sinners, if he had to shed his blood, if he had to suffer, then it was only but right that he was put on the center tree and not on one of the other crosses. And you recall what we said? That it was only right and proper that the Lord should be on the center tree because above his head was the superscription, King of the Jews. And Jesus Christ is King. And because he's King, he must always be in the midst. Because he is King, he must always be central to everything. He's central there in heaven. He's in the midst of heaven. He's in the midst of the throne. Because he's King. And he was on the center cross because he's King. You recall some of the names that the Lord Jesus has? He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Salem. King of Salem, as you know, means King of Peace. And here we have the mighty conqueror, the mighty King of Kings, standing in the midst of his people in the upper room. And what does he bring them? He brings them peace. He's the King of Peace. And so he brings peace, and as the King, he's able to conquer fear. He had conquered death. And he was able to conquer fear in the hearts of these disciples. They were fearful, they were troubled, they were disturbed in their hearts. And the Lord Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, Peace be unto you. You see, wherever the Lord comes, he always brings peace. You recall those days leading up to your salvation? You're under conviction and troubled in heart and couldn't sleep and were worried in case you would die in your sin. But when Christ came into your heart, you recall, don't you? You recall the peace that flooded your soul. Because then you knew your sins had been forgiven. You'd been saved by the grace of God. You would never be in hell. And you had peace with God. And you had the peace of God. And that peace, like a river, has been flowing through your soul ever since. Well, here's the King of Peace, and he's found in the midst of the disciples after conquering death, and now he conquers their fears and he conquers their troubled hearts, and he says unto them, Peace be unto you. He gave them his peace. It's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. You know the peace that we have? It's the peace that Christ has. It's Christ's peace that he has given to us. It's not anything that we have conjured up ourselves or manufactured. No, it's the peace of God that God has given to us. It's his peace. Remember what the Lord said? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's basically what the Lord was saying to the disciples and the others in that upper room. My peace, I give my peace unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be worried. I'm here. I'm here. Just like a child cries out in the night, has a dream or a nightmare and they're waking up. And mum or dad goes into the room, puts their arm around and says, It's all right, son. I'm here. Immediately the child's all right, knowing that mum and dad's there. How often we cried out in the night through fear. But then we've been made to realize the Lord is saying, it's all right, I'm here. And immediately he gives us his peace. That was the trouble with the disciples. The door was shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. But when Jesus appeared and stood in the midst of them, he brought them peace. We mentioned there the disciples in the ship in the midst of Galilee during the storm. And they were afraid that they were going to die. And they went to the ship, the end of the ship where the Lord was sleeping. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they woke the Lord, and he stood up, and he rebuked the wind. And it says immediately, there was a great calm. There was not only a calm on the sea, there was now a calm in the hearts of the disciples. What did he bring them? He brought them peace. For he said to the seas, peace, be still. And he brought peace to those troubled disciples in the ship and in the upper room. When we are gripped with fear, and there doesn't seem to be a way out, remember this, that Jesus Christ is with us. He's there in the midst of all our troubles. He's in the midst. He's in the midst of all of our worries. He's in the midst of all of our disappointments and discouragement. Jesus Christ is always in the midst. He doesn't distance himself from us. He's right there in the midst of all that we are going through. You recall when Nebuchadnezzar cast the three Hebrew children into the burning fiery furnace? And Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace and he said, I thought we put three men in there. But behold, I see four. There's a fourth man in there. And Nebuchadnezzar recognized who the fourth person was. He's the Son of God. And sometimes you and I find ourselves in the burning fiery furnace. But if only we would look with the eyes of faith, we would see the Son of God in the midst. Here were the disciples troubled, annoyed, afraid, worried. And Jesus Christ came to them in their hour of need and said unto them, peace be unto you. He'll do the same for us. He has done the same. He always comes to us. And he'll be with us in the midst of all of our trouble. And he'll bring us peace. Once again, the clock has beaten me. I've just looked at the first point. There's more here, I believe, to encourage us. So we'll leave that until next week. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we bless thee for the King of Peace. We thank thee for the King of Salem. We're glad to say, we're glad to recognize and acknowledge him as our King. He's the King of Glory. And one day we shall see him. We shall see Jesus himself. While, Lord, heaven may be filled with angels, it's the angel of the covenant we shall see. And we shall see him as he is. Lord, we thank Thee for the encouragement we receive from Thy Word. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that we have such a wonderful Savior who's always in the midst of all our troubles and disappointments and discouragements. Jesus is there. Oh Lord, give us the eyes of faith to see Him, that we'll be less worried and less troubled. Lord, write Thy holy word upon our hearts. May we meditate upon it today. And dear Lord, bless us now as we part the one from the other. Grant us all traveling mercy. And in Thy will, O Lord, return us to Thy house this evening to once again spend time around Thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.